Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. And on today's episode, we are continuing our coverage of the Lighthouse series, which is being presented by Soho Playhouse. It's running April 18th through May 5th at Soho Playhouse, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting sohoplayhouse.com. Joining us today, we have five more incredible shows that we can't wait to share with you. And here to talk to us about that, we have five amazing artists, starting with the composer, music director, and lighting designer, Yona Merk, who's here to talk to us about their show, The Silver Child. We also have the playwright and director, Scott Brooks, and his show, Lump Sum. The playwright, Matt Morse, and his show, Annie Brown's Fifth Grade Science Presentation. The playwright and performer from website evangelist Eulogy for a Laptop, Alex Beige, and the playwright, lyricist, and director, Braden Martino, here to talk to us about Toothy's Treasure, a new musical comedy. So with that, why don't we go ahead and welcome in our quorum of artists, as it were. Everyone, welcome in A Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
Hello.
Having us.
Hi.
I'm thrilled that you're all here. I cannot wait to hear about all these shows. First of all, what fantastic titles. I'm already in. Take me on an adventure. And why don't we start by having all of you tell us a little bit about your shows. Let's start with Yona with The Silver Child. Can you tell us a bit about your piece?
Sure. It's a three-actor, three-cast musical. It's really hard to explain in a short blur, but basically we're tracking a relationship between two children and their mother as they go through a typical day in high school.
I love that. Can't wait to see what that looks like. Moving on to Scott Brooks and the show Lump Sum. How about we hear a little bit about that?
Yes, sir. Lump Sum is actually two scenes from the first act of a full length. So it's a bit of a, really the prologue of a of what becomes a large ensemble. There's actually nine characters in this play eventually, but we're only hanging out with three. And the first two scenes are about a lottery winner who cons a wealthy woman, and she begins to plot her revenge with the help of a wealthy friend.
We love a good revenge show. That's fantastic. Matt Morse, you're up there with Annie Brown's Fifth Grade Science Presentation. What's that all about?
Sure. So the title does a lot of the work for me, thankfully, here. At the surface, we are at a fifth grade science presentation. We have Annie Brown, who's this zealous, kind of almost overzealous fifth grader, who has prepared a really intricate presentation about the food chain. So, of course, there's subtext. There's more to it than just that. She talks to us about predators and prey and oppression. But as she kind of walks through it, the actors, the characters playing these parts realize that maybe the food chain, as she's telling it, isn't quite fair. And they stray away from the script that she's prepared. And that's kind of when the show begins and everything falls off course.
Love that. That sounds great. Alex Beige, tell us about website evangelist, Eulogy for a Laptop.
Yes. So website evangelist Eulogy for a Laptop it's a couple of things. It's a laptop puppet show. It's like a Catholic mass. So that's like the structure of it and format. So I'm Archbishop Beige while I'm in the show. And yeah, the main premise. So it's also about like loss and grief. And the main premise is that I'm giving up my only begotten laptop to website God. So it's a very like somber event for the most part, but also it's stand-up comedy. So, yeah.
Yes to all of that. I love that. Thank you, Archbishop. Rounding us out is Braden Martino and his new musical, Toothy's Treasure, a new musical comedy. What's going on there?
Yeah, so it's a pirate musical. It's a comedy. And the premise is that we have this crew of pirates who is on a journey to pursue this great treasure. And they have the perfect protagonist to lead their way to the treasure. And then the protagonist dies in the first scene. So the pirates, they look to the audience to find audience volunteers that have main character energy. And they invite them on stage, ask them real questions about their life. And through using improv and musical improv, they weave this person's real life story into the story of the musical. So it's a fusion of structured musical theater and improv. It's very fun.
That sounds like a blast. All of these shows sound fantastic, top to bottom. This is incredible. And I want to dive a bit more into these works. And Scott, I want to start with you and your show Lump Sum. Today is the day that the festival starts, the Lighthouse series, at the time of this recording. So what has it been like developing your piece?
As a writer, I guess I'll talk about what it's been like to develop it as a writer. I noticed that a lot of places around the country were producing these so-called 10-page play festivals, and everyone was looking for short. Everybody's nodding on the Zoom meeting here. Oh yeah, suddenly everybody wants 10. I said, shoot. So I just started writing all these 10-page plays just to see what kind of action I could get. And then, of course, me being me, I thought, well, what if they all intertwined into one big one? And that is sort of how this came about. And that is why the first act of my play is already structured as a bunch of seemingly independent one-act plays, which is why it was so suited to be, again, taken apart for this festival. And then all these characters from all these one acts meet in a cocktail lounge in a 5-star hotel for act two. And then the fun really begins. Developing it has been a lot of fun. I love to write about the very rich and the very unhappy. And all these characters are big and satirical. And it's just been a lot of fun. I really let myself off the leash, if you will, as a writer, and said all the things that, you sometimes think you shouldn't say.
I love that. What an interesting process, though. That's really fantastic.
Yeah, it was all kind of came together a little bit by accident. I had sort of stepped away from playwriting for a few years, but I still love it, and I was just noodling around with this in this format, and it just kept coming up and bubbling up, and then I finally just decided to finish it, and I've been looking for a home for it, and Lighthouse popped up on my radar, and here I am.
Very cool. Alex, how about you? What has it been like developing your piece?
Yeah, so it's been a process over a few months, kind of, because there have been a few different versions of it I've done. So I'll touch on that a bit. The first version was like a 5-minute open projector at a slideshow comedy show. So I just did like a quick 5 minutes pretending to be, oh, not pretending, I was Archbishop Vage. But that was like the first time I tried it, and that was like in September. And since then, I've kind of lengthened it. I've played around with it and done it a few different ways. So in January, I performed a 10-minute stand-up set, and that was the first time I had the actual Catholic chasuble, which is real, and I have it, and a real priest used it. And that was the first time I used it, was in the stand-up set at Pure Chaos Comedy. And then in February, that was the first time I performed like the entire one act as like a continuous thing. So yeah, through those three performances over time, I've been able to kind of like start with this like really simple premise and trying out this 5-minute thing, and then being able to expand it to a full show.
Very cool. Very cool. I love the authenticity, if you will, that's being incorporated in your show. That's really awesome. Yona, I want to come to you with this next question. I'm curious to know, what is the message or thought you are hoping the audiences take away from your piece?
That's a super interesting and tricky question for our show because it kind of gives away the entire show in one sentence. I think what we brought to the table is really just leading a discussion of tense discourse with empathy and an increasing understanding of each other in a way that people might not have thought of in before coming to see the show. And it's just something that I think, especially coming out of the pandemic, was so important for us as the writers of this show to lead with empathy and understanding for each other, but also for other people that you live with and don't actually, think about on a day-to-day basis. Yeah.
That is fantastic. I love it. Matt, tell us about your piece and the message or thought you hope audiences take away.
Yeah, so like I said, it's about science, but really it's about oppression. And the systems of oppression, I feel like, are largely unchanged. We find new ways to execute them, but they're unchanged relatively over time in a lot of ways, especially in our society. And there's a lot of theater about that, but I hope that what's special about this piece is that it's surprising. I hope that people kind of think about the role they play in events that they watch, whether that's theater or whether that's events in the world, and what it's like to be a participant and what it's like to be a bystander. And really, when it comes down to like making hard choices, where you land. I don't think that the show ending is necessarily obvious. I don't want it to be surprising just to be surprising. I think it's surprising because real people surprise us, and in really intense moments, we often surprise ourselves. So that might be a cop-out answer, but I hope they walk out kind of surprised, but also thinking about the world around them a little bit more.
That is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Brandon, I actually want to jump back to my previous question with your show. I mean, the fact that there is so much improv and whatnot involved, what has it been like developing your piece?
Yeah, so I, before working on this project, come from the world of making parody musicals. So I've done a B movie musical parody, a Fairly Odd Parents musical parody, and stuff like that. And in those shows, with them being parody style and such wild comedies, I've always tried to incorporate audience interaction into the shows because the audience likes to interact with fun characters that they know and love, and those audience interactive aspects have always been the most successful parts. So with Toothy's Treasure, I wanted to make a show where that was the main thing, and sort of like what happens if the audience is not only interacted with, but they're an integral part of the show. So developing it, we've gotten a lot of opportunities to do some workshops where we've gotten this on its feet, and we've gotten to experience it with real audience members who have no idea what it is going into it, and that has allowed us to sort of like develop these improv structures that don't really exist in like normal like improv that you go see if you go see an improv show, but that's like really specific to the structure of this musical, where we have kind of these formulas that are happening behind the scenes of how an actor in a scene later is going to reference the thing that an audience member brought to the table in a previous scene, and certain rhyme structures for how an audience member's answer is going to fit into a song that is about the audience member and stuff like that. So it's been really fun to experiment with it and find what works and what doesn't, because it's really risky because there's so much unpredictability of it. But it works, and it really kind of blows people's minds how well it works, because it shouldn't.
That sounds fabulous. Oh, as a former improver, I'm absolutely giddy about this. So, listeners, as you can hear, we've got five very different shows right here for our sampling. And to wrap up this first part, I want to ask all of you the same question, which is, who are you hoping to have access to your piece? Matt, I'd like to start first with you on that.
Yeah, so kind of going back to my other answer, I love shows and characters that are surprising. I like theater when it's really real and like developed and rounded, but we see human choices and flawed choices depicted on stage. So I hope it's people who kind of resonate with those values who go to the theater because they want to laugh, and hopefully we will make you laugh. I'm sure that if we don't, the other shows in our program will. But you also really cover just a spectrum of emotions. I think that theater's at its most interesting when it's really engaging the audience in interesting ways. And so I hope that people that want to come see a show that's different, that's a little bit challenging, but also kind of embodies what theater can be, make it out and are able to see it.
What a fabulous thought there. I love it. Alex, what about you? Who do you hope have access?
Yeah, this is a great question for me because I have a list that I essentially say during the show. So I'm not going to say that list now, but I will say that, like, one for sure is I hope that people who are having trouble holding grief and figuring out how to address that, I hope those people see the show. I hope people who also have emotional attachments to their devices see the show. And yeah. I think those are the main two. And there's like a longer list. And the show is about like a ton of different specific topics that I hope like people who've also experienced these personal things like resonate with.
Fantastic. Yes. Yona, what about you? Who are you hoping have access to your piece?
Yeah, I hope that our show covers a wide range of audiences, given that our show is so specific to specific characters that we've developed, and in that create a discourse between people that are excited about rethinking the way that they see other people in their lives. So therefore, I think the show is for everyone and no one at the same time.
That is a fantastic answer. I love it. Scott, With your show Lump Sum, who are you hoping to have access to essentially the prologue of your full piece?
Other than investors and producers? It's a hard question because when I read this question on the in the notes, I thought, well, who would I not want to have access to something I've written and I'm producing? But now hearing other people's answers, I have a clearer idea of the tone that is meant by that question. And I would say people who are thinking about the wealth and power imbalance in our country and how did certain people get where they are and how did the people who are in charge, who are not the elected officials, rather the people who've collected all the power through cash, how did they get there? And want to have a laugh at some of these people who are cartoonishly inept. Is that much of an answer?
That is a great answer, and I love that. That is a fabulous answer.
All right, party
And
on.
bringing us home, Brayden, who are you hoping to have access to your piece?
Yeah, in writing this, I really wanted to write a comedy that was family friendly, but not necessarily for kids, but it could be enjoyed by anyone of all ages. There's no crass humor in it. But ultimately, beneath the surface of the audience interaction, it's a story about a group of people who didn't feel like they belonged anywhere else until they found this community, this pirate crew. And so, in it being an interactive show, I want it to feel like a community experience for the audience. And I want the audience to feel like they're a part of a community who's witnessing this thing that's happening, a real fleeting moment in time that can't be repeated because it actually has to do with the people in the room who are contributing certain things in that moment. And I want it to the audience to feel like they've become part of a community in the same way that the pirates realize at the end of the show that the most important thing all along was not finding the treasure, but finding the community of the crew that accepts them for who they are.
For the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners the opportunity to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I want to jump right to my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory? Yes, Alex, what is your favorite theater memory?
Mine is easy in my head. I don't want to be too specific here, but there was this club I was a part of during unnamed college, and this club had this theater club was this club where like everyone could join, like of all majors. Like it was very low pressure and fun was literally just what it was about. So like me as a chemical engineering major, I was able to like join this for fun and write my own play. And that was the first play that I wrote. And it was just called Fly Story. And it was just about like, it was, what do you call it? Like a black and white silent film about flies eating a person's food. And yeah, it was just really fun. And that was the first play I ever wrote. And also at the end of that show, at the end of the last night of the show, I lost my virginity, which kind of all made this show being like one of the best in my memory.
That is an amazing memory. That is definitely one of the most unique we've ever heard. That is incredible. Wow.
I'm
Thank you
changing
for
mine
that.
now.
Who can top it? No, that's great. Thank you. All right, Scott, hit us with it.
I'm realizing now how much time has gone by, and I might date myself a little bit with this story. But waiting in the cancellation line to see the producers right after 9/11, and we got in. And the intense camaraderie among the audience, the palpable rebellion in feeling joy and laughter at this absolutely hilarious show right after 9/11. We were just sort of applauding ourselves for being there. And it was just such a sense of community. And that, I don't know, is this making sense? It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. And I'll always remember it. I was young, but still.
It's an amazing memory. I love that. Who would like to be next? Matt? Matt, yes, please.
Yeah, I'm happy to go. My memory is also not about working in theater. I didn't start working in theater until college. I was also a chemie major, and I was taking really hard classes, and I was like, I need easier electives. I need my GPA to get bumped up. So I didn't start until college, but before that, growing up, I used to go to the theater with my mom a lot. So that's still my favorite theater memory, is like anytime now that we get to go see a show, especially now that I do work in theater, it's those are my favorite memories. So I get to make a new one all the time, which is awesome. But like every time we get to go see a show together, it feels like I'm that little like 10-year-old getting to see a show. I just know so much more about it, so I can appreciate it a lot more now.
That is such a wonderful memory. Yes. Love that. Yona, yes,
Yeah,
please.
I'll jump in quickly. Mine actually is a childhood memory. First Broadway show, everyone has their first like magical moment, I guess. And for me, it was Lion King on Broadway and seeing the puppetry and seeing the community build, like across the board and the audience, from the 3-year-olds having a great time looking at the different colors and different puppets to, even, parents and grandparents, and everyone is sharing this like love for the story that they grew up watching and on TV, and finally being able to see it realized on a big Broadway stage was something really special. And I think that sense of awe and sense of theatricality is something I'm trying to make with my work, no matter how big or small the scale of the production is, that someone just goes in and has a great time for however long the show is.
Oh, we love a Lion King memory. Yes, that is fantastic. Thank you so much for that. And bringing us home, Brayden, what is your favorite theater memory?
Mine is a memory of the first like original work that I had ever produced. I was in my last few months of high school, my senior year, and me and my friends, huge fans of the Shrek franchise. Love Shrek, but we particularly love Shrek 2. Shrek 2 is the best movie in the Shrek franchise. I think that's pretty a universally known thing. It's just a perfect sequel. And we love Shrek the musical. We were just recently in Shrek the musical, and we thought, why isn't there a Shrek 2 musical? So we were like, God, they need to make this. And we're like, wait, why don't we just make it? And we didn't know what we were doing, but and it kind of started off as a joke of like, oh yeah, let's write this musical. Had no experience writing, directing, anything. We'd just been kind of like actors in high school theater at that point. But we were like, we really love the idea of doing this. So we put it together, and I got a bunch of my friends to do it. And we found this kind of dance studio that had been transformed into a theater, who my friend had a connection with, and they had just done a production of Shrek the Musical. And they said, hey, we'll leave our setup for you if you want to use our space after we're done with it. And so we did our production of the Shrek 2 musical in this like little dance studio with 100 fold-out chairs in it. And we got to a kind of our opening night performance, and I think nobody really kind of thought this like was legit. That like the cast and they were like, I don't know if anyone's gonna come see this. We invited some friends and family and posted it on social media and stuff. So we're waiting in this other room, this like backstage area, and my mom, who agreed to be kind of like the front door person, she runs backstage and she says, we don't have enough chairs. There's a line wrapped around the whole building. And all of a sudden we're like, oh my gosh, like people actually
That's
came to
great.
see this thing that we created that started off as a joke. And so we like went through the whole building, tried to find any chairs, blocks, benches, things that we could find for people to sit on. And we crammed them into the dance studio, and we had people standing in the back, and we had a full crowd of like over 100 people who came to see the show. And it was so fun. It was the most fun I've ever had performing, but also just being in a space of mostly young people who came and saw theater, who a lot of people who normally wouldn't go see a musical, but because it was this like Shrek 2 thing and it was made by Gen Z artists, they were really excited by it. And it was just like the most exciting moment where I was like, wow, I have to do this. I have to keep like creating stuff. Like I didn't know this was what I wanted to do, but this is exactly what I want to do. And it was a great experience.
That is a wonderful memory. I love it. I love all of those memories, truly. Thank you all so much for sharing those. As we wrap things up, I would love to know if our listeners would like more information about your show or about you. Perhaps they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so? So, Yanya, can we start with you on that?
Sure. I'm going to actually preface this by saying that I'm obviously writing this with someone else, and Trevor's website has all the information for our show, the synopsis, and even I think a sneak peek of one of the songs. So that website is trevorkband.com, trevorkband.com, and you can find all information on our show and other shows they wrote just on there. And my information, best to find me on Insta, is Yonja Merck, JonjaMerck. And any information is also posted on there.
When is your show playing?
We have the 28th at 4, May 3rd at 9, and May 5 at 7.
Scott, how about you?
Yes, sir. I have a little website that documents all of my shortcomings, scottmbrooks.com, like it sounds. M is Michael, scottmbrooks.com. I'm official Scott Brooks on Instagram, ironically. And we go, Lump Sum performs in the Lighthouse Festival head to head with two of our other roommates right here. Monday, April 29th, Wednesday, May 1st, and Saturday, May 4th.
Fabulous. Matt, how about your show, Annie Brown's fifth grade science presentation?
Yes. So, like Scott just said, we are billing with group four on April 29th, May 1st, and May 4th. So, the three shows in that are Annie Brown, Website Evangelist, and Lump Sum. You can also find us, let me make sure I get this link right. You can find us at Annie Brown Play on Instagram and TikTok. I am on Instagram mostly at MTH Morse, MTH MORSE, online at mattmorsewrites.com. And on New Play Exchange and all the other avenues.
Wonderful. Alex, with your show, Website Evangelist Eulogy for a Laptop. If our listeners want more info, how can they get so?
Yep. So as said, I'm also in group four. So April 29th, May 1st, May 4th is when I'm performing. And to follow me or keep up with what I'm doing, I'm a website designer and developer. That's what I do for work. That's what I do for life. And the show is an extension of that. So you can find me at Alex Beige, like the color web.dev. That is my virtual paradise. And my Instagram handle is at virtually.alex.beige.
Wonderful. And bringing us home, we've got Brayden Martino with Tootie's Treasure, a new musical comedy.
Yeah, the best way to follow along with Toothy's Treasure is our Instagram. That's where we're the most active, at Toothy's Treasure. We also have a website, toothystreasure.com, that has a little bit more info. There's a sizzle reel, there's some like song samples and info about the show. And then personally, my Instagram is at Brayden Martino, BraydenMartino. And the composer of the show, his name is John William Gambrell. His Instagram is John William Gambrell. And we're performing in group five, which is April 30th at 7 p.m., May 2nd at 9 p.m., and May 5th at 4 p.m. Yeah.
Can't forget, I almost didn't shout out my partner in crime here. So it's just me performing and writing it. The director is Emma Gometz, who is a lovely person and one of my closest friends and is super talented. So yeah, you can follow her too by Googling that name.
I think I already mentioned this, but my director is Abby Davis. She is also available on Instagram and website abby-davis.com and linked in all of our show promo stuff. So you can find her that way as well.
Fantastic. Well, Yona, Scott, Matt, Alex, Brayden, thank you all so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing these amazing works. I'm so excited about them. I can't wait to see what's next for them as well. But I really hope I get to come by down at the Soho Playhouse and see these great and just variously different, powerful works. So thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. Have a
Thanks
good
for
one.
having us.
My guests today have been several artists that are part of the Soho Playhouse presentation of the Lighthouse series. The series is happening April 18th through May 5th at Soho Playhouse, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting sohoplayhouse.com. Our guests have been the composer, music director, and lighting designer of the show, The Silver Child, Yona Merk, the playwright and director, Scott Brooks, whose show Lump Sum is part of the series, the playwright Matt Morse, who joined us to talk about his show, Annie Brown's fifth grade science presentation, the playwright and performer, Alex Beige, with their show, Website Evangelist Eulogy for a Laptop, and finally, the playwright, lyricist, and director of Toothy's Treasure, a new musical comedy, joined us, and of course, that was Brayden Martino. We have contact information and dates for all of these artists and their shows that we'll be listing in our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you head over right now to SoHoPlayhouse.com and get your tickets for these amazing works, for this amazing festival that's happening. You're not going to want to miss it. The series runs April 18th through May 5th at the SoHo Playhouse. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.